శ్రీ సాయి సచ్చరిత్ర ద వండర్ఫుల్ లైఫ్ అండ్ టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ సాయిబాబా చాప్టర్ 5 బాబాస్ రిటర్న్ విత్ చాంద్ పాటిల్స్ మ్యారేజ్ పార్టీ వెల్కమ్డ్ అండ్ అడ్రస్డ్ యాజ్ సాయి కాంటాక్ట్ విత్ అదర్ సెయింట్స్ హిస్ అటైర్ అండ్ డైలీ రొటీన్ ద స్టోరీ ఆఫ్ ద పాదుకాస్ wrestling bout with Mohuddin and change in life, turning water into oil, the pseudo guru Jawahar Ali, written with Chand Patil's marriage party. As hinted in the last chapter, I shall now describe first how Sai Baba returned to Shirdi after his disappearance. There lived in Aurangabad district, that is Nizam state, in a village called Dhoop, a well-to-do Mohammedan gentleman by named Chand Patil. While he was making a trip to Aurangabad, he lost his mare. For 2 long months, he made a diligent search, but could get no trace of the lost mare. After being disappointed, he returned from Aurangabad with the saddle on his back. After travelling 4 kos and half, he came on the way to a mango tree under the foot of which sat a fakir. He had a cap on his head, wore kafni, that is long robe, and had a satka, short stick, under his arm, and he was preparing to smoke a chilim, that is pipe. On seeing Chand Patil pass by the way, he called out to him and asked him to have a smoke and to rest a while. The queer fellow, or fakir, asked him about the saddle. Chand Patil replied that it was of his mare, which was lost some time back. The fakir asked him to make a search in the nala close by. He went and the wonder of wonders, he found the mare there. He thought that this fakir was not an ordinary man, but an Awaliya, a great saint. He returned to the fakir with the mare. The chilim was ready for being smoked, but 2 things were wanting. Number 1, fire to light the pipe, and 2, water to wet the chapi, that is, piece of cloth through which smoke is drawn up. The fakir took his prong and thrust it forcibly into the ground, and out came a live ember, which he put on the pipe. Then he dashed the satka on the ground, from where water began to ooze. The chapi was wetted with that water, then wrung out and wrapped around the pipe. Thus, everything being complete, the fakir smoked the chilim and then gave it also to Chand Patil. On seeing all this, Chand Patil was wonderstruck. He requested the fakir to come to his home and accept his hospitality. Next day, he went to Patil's house and stayed there for some time. Patil was a village officer of Dhoop. His wife's brother's son was to be married and the bride was from Shirdi. So Patil made preparation to start for Shirdi for the marriage. The fakir also accompanied the marriage party. The marriage went off without any hitch. The party returned to Dhoop, except the fakir who stayed back in Shirdi and remained there forever. How the fakir got the name Sai? When the marriage party came to Shirdi, it alighted at the foot of a banyan tree in Bhagat Mahalspati's field near Khandoba's temple. The carts were loosened in the open courtyard of Khandoba's temple, and the members of the party descended one by one, and the fakir also got down. Bhagat Mahalspati saw the young fakir getting down and accosted him, "Ya Sai," that is, "Welcome Sai." Others also addressed him as Sai, and thenceforth he became Sai Baba. contact with other saints. Sai Baba began to stay in a deserted masjid. One saint named Devidas was living in Shirdi for many years before Baba came there. Baba liked his company. He stayed with him in the Maruti temple in the Chavadi and sometime lived alone. Then came another saint by name Janaki Das. Baba spent most of his time in talking with him, or Janaki Das went to Baba's residence. So also one Vaishya householder saint from Puntambe by name Gangagir always frequented Shirdi. When he first saw Sai Baba carrying pitchers of water in both hands for watering the garden, he was amazed and said openly, "Blessed is Shirdi that it got this precious jewel. This man is carrying water today, but he is not an ordinary fellow. As this land, Shirdi, was fortunate and meritorious, it secured this jewel." So also one famous saint by name Anandanath of Evalamath, a disciple of Akalkot Maharaj, came to Shirdi with some people. When he saw Sai Baba, he said openly, "This is a precious diamond in reality. Though he looks like an ordinary man, he is not a gar, that is ordinary stone, but a diamond. You will realize this in the near future. Saying this, he returned to Evala. This was said while Sai Baba was an youngster. Baba's dress and daily routine. In his young days, Sai Baba grew hair on his head, never had his head shaved. He dressed like an athlete. When he went to Rahata, that is 3 miles from Shirdi, he brought with him small plants of marigold, jai and jui, and after cleaning, he planted and watered them. A devotee by name Vamanatatya supplied him daily with 2 unbaked earthen pitchers. With this, Baba himself used to water the plants. He drew water from the well and carried the pitchers on his shoulders. In the evening, the pitchers were kept at the foot of the neem tree. As soon as they were placed there, they were broken, as they were made of raw earth and not baked. Next day, Tatya supplied 2 fresh pitchers. This course went on for 3 years. And with Sai Baba's toil and effort, there grew a garden. On this site at present stands the big mansion, Samadhi Mandir of Baba, which is now frequented and used by so many devotees. The story of Paduka's footprints under the neem tree. A devotee of Akalkot Maharaj by name Bhai Krishnaji Alibakar worshipped the photo of Akalkot Maharaj. He once thought of going to Akalkot in Cholapur district, take the darshan of the Padukas, that is footprint of the Maharaj, and offer his sincere prayer there. But before he could get there, he got a vision in his dream. Akalkot Maharaj appeared in the vision and said to him, "Now, Shirdi is my resting place. Go there and offer your worship." So, Bhai changed his plan and came to Shirdi, worshipped Baba, stayed there for 6 months and was happy. As a reminiscence of this vision, etc., he prepared the padukas and installed them on an auspicious day of Shravana Shaka 1834, that is 1912 AD, under the neem tree with due ceremonies and formalities, conducted by Dada Kelkar and Upasani. One Dikshit Brahmin was appointed for worship, and the management was entrusted to devotee Sagun. Complete version of the story. Mr. B.V. Dev, retired Mamladar of Thana and a great devotee of Sai Baba, made enquiries about this matter with Sagun Meru Nayak and Govind Kamalakar Dikshit, and has published a full version of the Padukas in Sai Leela Volume 2, Volume 11, Number 1, Page 25. It runs as follows. In 1834 Shaka, that is 1912 AD, one Dr. Rama Rao Kothare of Mumbai came to Shirdi for Baba's darshan. His compounder and his friend Bhai Krishnaji Alibakar accompanied him. The compounder and Bhai became intimate with Sagun Meru Nayak and G.K. Dikshit. While discussing things, these persons thought that there must be some memorial of Sai Baba's first advent at Shirdi and sitting under the holy neem tree. They thought of installing Baba's padukas there and were going to make them of some rough stone. Then Bhai's friend, the compounder, suggested that if this matter was made known to his master, Dr. Ram Rao Kothare, he would prepare nice padukas for this purpose. All liked this proposal and Dr. Kothare was informed of it. He came to Shirdi and drew a plan of the padukas. He went to Upasani Maharaj in Kandoba's temple and showed him his plan. The latter made many improvements, drew lotus flowers, conch, discs, maize, etc., and suggested that the following shloka verses regarding neem tree's greatness and Baba's yogic powers be inscribed. The verse was as follows. Sadha Nimbabriksha Muladi Vasat Sudashravinam Tikampai Priyam Tam Tarum Kalpavrikshadikam Sandhyatam Nameshwaram Sadgurum Sainatam. Upasani's suggestions were accepted and carried out. The padukas were made in Mumbai and sent to Shirdi with the compounder. Baba said that they should be installed on the Purnima, 15th day of Shravana. On that day at 11 a.m., G.K. Dikshit brought them on his head from Kandoba's temple to the Dwarkamai, that is Masjid, in a procession. Baba touched the padukas, saying that these are the feet of the Lord, and asked the people to install them under foot of the neem tree. A day before, one Prasi devotee of Mumbai named Prastha Seth sent rupees 25 by money order. Baba gave this sum for the installation of the padukas. The total expense of installation came up to rupees 100, out of which rupees 75 were collected by subscriptions. For the first 5 years, G.K. Dikshit worshipped the padukas daily, and then this was done by Lakshman Kacheshwar Jhakadi. In the first 5 years, Dr. Kothare sent rupees 2 per month for lighting lamp, and he also sent the railing round the padukas. The expense of bringing the railing from the station to Shirdi, presently rupees 7 rupees and 50 paise, and roofing was paid by Sagun Meru Nayak. Now Jhakadi Nana Pujari does the worship, and Sagun Meru Nayak offers the Nevidya and lights the evening lamps. Bhai Krishnaji was originally a devotee of Akkolkot Maharaj. He had come to Shirdi at the installation of the padukas in Shaka 1834 on his way to Akkolkot. He wanted to go to Akkolkot after taking the darshan of Baba. He asked Baba's permission for this. Baba said, "Oh, what is there in Akkolkot? Why do you go there? The Maharaj of that place is here, myself." Hearing this, Bhai did not go to Akkolkot. He came to Shirdi off and on after the installation of the padukas. Mr. B.V. Dev concluded that Hemant Pant did not know these details. Had he known them, he would not have failed to depict them in his Satcharitra. Wrestling bout with Mohuddin, Tamboli, and change in lifestyle. To return to other stories of Baba, there was a wrestler in Shirdi by named Mahuddin Tamboli. Baba and he did not agree on some points, and both had a fight. In this, Baba was defeated. Thenceforth, Baba changed his dress and mode of living. He donned kafni, or a langot, that is waistband, and covered his head with a piece of cloth. He took a piece of sackcloth for his bed and was content with wearing torn and worn-out rags. He always said that poverty is better than kingship, far better than lordship. The Lord is always brother, that is, befriender of the poor. Gangadhar was also very fond of wrestling. While he was once wrestling, a similar feeling of dispassion descended over him. And at the proper time, he heard the voice of an adept saying that he should wear out his body, playing with God. So he too gave up sansar and turned towards God realization. He established a mutt on the banks of the river near Puntambe and lived there with his disciples. Sai Baba did not mix and speak with the people. He only gave answers when he was questioned. By day, he always sat under the neem tree, sometimes under the shade of a babul tree, near the stream at the outskirts of the village. In the afternoon, he used to walk at random and go at times to Nimgaon. There, he frequented the house of Bala Saheb Dengle. Baba loved Mr. Bala Saheb. His younger brother named Nana Saheb had no sons, though he married a second wife. Bala Saheb sent Nana Saheb for taking darshan of Sai Baba, and after some time with his grace, Nana Saheb got a son. From that time onwards, people began to come in numbers to see Sai Baba, and his fame began to spread and reached Ahmednagar. From thence, Nana Saheb Chandorkar and Keshav Chidambar and many others began to come to Shirdi. Baba was surrounded by his devotees during the day and slept at night in an old and dilapidated masjid. Baba's paraphernalia at this time consisted of chilim, tobacco, a termal, that is tin pot, long kafni, a piece of cloth round his head, and a satka, that is short stick, which he always kept with him. The piece of white cloth on the head was twisted like matted hair and flowed down from the left ear on the back. This was not washed for weeks. He wore no shoes nor sandals. A piece of sackcloth was his seat for most of the day. He wore a kupin, that is, waist cloth band, and for warding off cold, he always sat in front of Dhuni, that is, sacred fire, facing south, with his left hand resting on the wooden railing. In that dhuni, he offered an oblation of egoism, desires, and always uttered Allah Malik, that is, God is the sole owner. The masjid in which he sat was only of two-room dimensions, where all devotees came and saw him. After 1912, there was a change. The old masjid was repaired and a pavement was constructed. Before Baba came to live in that masjid, he lived for a long time in a place, Takia, where with ghungur, that is small bells tied on his anklets, Baba danced beautifully and sang with tender love. Turning water into oil. Sai Baba was very fond of lights. He used to borrow oil from shopkeepers and keep lamps burning the whole night in the masjid and temple. This went on for some time. The Baniyas, who supplied oil gratis, once met together and decided not to give him oil. When, as usual, Baba went to ask for oil, they all gave him a distinct no. Unperturbed, Baba returned to the masjid and kept the dry wicks in the lamp. The Baniyas were watching him with curiosity. Baba took the tamral, that is, tin pot, which contained very little, a few drops of oil, put water into it and drank it, and then forced it fall into the container. After consecrating the tin pot in this way, he again took the water from the tin pot and filled all the lamps with it and lighted them. To the surprise and dismay of the watching Baniyas, the lamps began to burn and kept burning the whole night. The Baniyas repented and apologized, and Baba forgave them and asked them to be more truthful in future. The pseudo-guru Jawahar Ali. 5 years after the wrestling bout the above mentioned, one fakir from Ahmednagar by name Jawahar Ali came to Rahata with his disciples and stayed in Bakhal, that is spacious room near Veerabhadra temple. The fakir was learned, could repeat the whole Quran, and had a sweet tongue. Many religious and devout people of the village came to him and began to respect him. With the help of the people, he started to build an idgha, that is a walled enclosure in which Mohammedans pray on Eid day, near the Veerabhadra temple. There was some quarrel about this affair, on account of which Jawahar Ali had to leave Rahata. Then he came to Shirdi and lived in the masjid with Baba. People were captured by his sweet talk, and he began to call Baba his disciple. Baba did not object and consented to be his chela. Then both Guru and chela decided to return to Rahata and lived there. The Guru, that is teacher, never knew his disciple's worth. But the disciple knew the shortcomings of the Guru. Still, he never disrespected him, observing carefully his duties. He even served the master in various ways. They used to come to Shirdi off and on, but their mainstay was in Rahata. The loving devotees of Baba in Shirdi did not like that Baba should stay away from them in Rahata. So they went in deputation to bring back Baba to Shirdi. When they met Baba near the Eidga and told the purpose of which they came, Baba said to them that the fakir was an angry, ill-tempered fellow. He would not leave him, and that they should better go back to Shirdi without him before the fakir returned. While they were thus talking, the fakir turned up and was very angry with them for trying to take away his disciple. There was some hot discussion and altercation, and it was finally decided that both the Guru and Chela should return to Shirdi. And so they returned and lived in Shirdi. But after a few years, the Guru was tested by Devidas and he was found wanting. 12 years before Baba arrived in Shirdi with the marriage party, this Devidas, aged about 10 or 11 years, came to Shirdi and lived in the Maruti temple. Devidas had fine features and brilliant eyes, and he was dispassion incarnate and the dhyani. Many persons named Tatya Kote, Kashinath and others regarded him as their guru. They brought Jawahar Ali in his presence, and in the discussion that followed, Jawahar was worsted and fled from Shirdi. He went and stayed in Bijapur and returned after many years to Shirdi and prostrated himself before Sai Baba. The delusion that he was guru and Sai Baba his chela was cleared away, and as he repented, Sai Baba treated him with respect. In this case, Sai Baba showed by his conduct how one should get rid of egoism and do the duties of a disciple to attain the highest end, that is, self-realization. This story is told here according to the version given by Mahalaspati, a great devotee of Baba. In the next chapter will be described Ram Navami festival, the masjid, its former condition and later improvement in it, etc. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all.